the compliment.
Hi, it's so good to be here.
Oh, you're one of my favorite people ever.
Oh, thank you.
Anna,
you too.
I always like to start with a compliment.
Oh my God, I wasn't prepared.
I know, that's why I like to start right away. Oh, people never are. You are so funny.
Aww.
And you're a wonderful person, first off. But I remember, too, like, you were one of these comedians that when I first saw you, like, you know, like you see someone who's just so talented, you get really angry.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I had to tell that to you because I was like, I saw your act for the first time. I think Brian Elberg was there, who's also been on this podcast.
Brian Elberg is one of my favorites.
I love Brian so much.
Yeah, he's just the best. I think the first show I did, I think it was
Dan Janine brought you here. Yes, I remember. And it was so funny because he was like, I have this other hilarious comic I'm bringing with me. And I was like, oh, who is it? He's like, Anna. And I was like, oh, I saw her out
in New
York City.
Had met before that.
We had met before that. Yes, but you didn't remember me, which
that's
is okay.
Awful. No, that's no. Because I hate when people don't remember
and
me.
And I want you to feel
bad
about
it. For forever. Like, sometimes somebody doesn't remember me and I'm like, that's fine. But in like 10 years, you're going to really regret that. So it's actually really humbling and important that I hear that. I do that to people, too.
I love it. You're like, if it's important.
If I've forgotten you, please let me know because I will apologize. That's awful. Wait, so when was the first time we met?
First time we met, it was at Grizzly Pear Midtown.
One of the worst places. Sorry.
No, it was okay.
I love it there.
No, you crushed, I remember, and I had said hello. And I remember because I knew Brian vaguely. At this point, I know him much better now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like trying to say hello to you. And I was like still trying to meet people. So I was like, hey, how are you? Like, you're so funny. And you're like, oh, thanks. You gave me the classic, like, you know, waved me off. And you were like, you basically stomped on my hopes and dreams. So
you know what I totally think happened? This is all very illuminating. I'm sure that I thought I bombed because in my head, I've never had a good set at Grizzly Pear.
That's really?
Yeah.
I've seen you have great sets there.
No. Every time I've done a mic there, I leave and I'm like, yeah, maybe it's time for me to retire. Like, it's so I probably was like, and it always makes me really angry at everyone in that particular room because I'm like, it's just because none of you ever have sex. Like, and it's totally not that at all. But then I just am a bitch. So that's why.
I had that same feeling. I went to a mic in Jersey here. And it's like a new mic. They're just getting started.
Yeah.
But one of those, like, remember when you're first starting out and you're like, how does anybody get anything from this? You know what I mean? Like, it was just god-awful, empty room. Like, nobody laughed at anything. Like, I did, like, my A-plus stuff and it was still nothing.
People are
like,
so upset the whole time.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah. It's like, why are any of us here? This is, like, not helping anybody. But you're so funny, Anna. And
thanks
for coming
on the
pod.
That's so sweet. I'm sorry I didn't remember you.
No, it's okay.
You fucking know me now. I know you now. And because you always remember when people don't remember you, but you never remember when you're not remembering somebody.
Yeah, oh, that's so true. But and then, like, you feel terrible, too, because, and it's like, I don't know if we, I don't feel this way towards you, but it's like, a lot of times you'll develop, like an unfair hatred towards that person.
Oh,
because they just don't even.
I have a list of people in my head. There's like
names. No.
No. But there's just like certain people where I'm like, one time I feel like it's fine. Once it's like three times where it's like
that's
we've
when
met,
it gets
annoying.
Yeah.
You don't know who I am. It's just like you've entered a list of people who I need revenge on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had the thing.
Not like act, like not violent, but just like in living my best life revenge, you know?
Are you a fan of revenge?
No, it's more like, okay, like if you haven't remembered me a few times, like I will think about you at the gym.
Yeah.
Like
you will have to make me have a great workout.
Yeah. I will be throwing things with you in mind. Wait, I totally cut you off. What were you saying?
No, I was just my silly question about revenge, but I've had this thing, and again, like totally I don't, you know, like your like physiological body feels this way, but like intellectually you don't feel this
way. Totally.
But like there's this person I've seen around a few times and I've always kind of been in the outskirts and no one's like introduced me. But like it's happened a few times now where it's like I know you and you haven't even looked at me in this conversation.
Yeah.
And like I've tried to like we've made eye contact.
Yeah.
And you've like said nothing.
And it's like you're a person. You're worthy of somebody acknowledging your presence.
I like to think so.
Yeah. The worst is when you're talking to somebody at like a party and you can tell they're like looking a little bit over you to see if there's somebody better to be talking to.
That is so funny.
That's also one of my pet peeves because it is just like I feel this like voracious need to prove that I'm worth talking to, but like I know I'm not. Like then I'll look over my shoulder and be like, that person has X amount more followers than me. That's why.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God,
it's like yeah.
Do you know what I love about comedy in New York City is you can meet anybody.
You
and,
can
like,
meet anyone.
You'll see someone and it's like, you just, even someone that doesn't make an impression will say, You go on Instagram, 300,000 followers.
And
like
I, and if you have that many followers, I only have love for you. Those are my favorite people.
Those are the people that
you can't
truly
trap me on this podcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and everyone's so jealous of them too. And that's what's unfair. It's like we all just want it. It's like when somebody's a model and you're like, it's fucked up that like they're profiting off of being beautiful. It's like we just want to be beautiful too.
Yeah, well that's why I think there's so much anger in men right now too. It's like there's so much of a jealousy there. I was thinking about this the other day. Like I don't know if it's like a evolutionary thing or something, but like I had this thought where it's like, do men just feel like threatened, I guess, because a lot of, I think at the end of the day, it's like these women just don't want to fuck. Men get mad when women don't want to like fuck them. Right?
Totally.
It's like, so it's like that just causes so much anger.
So
in the
much
male,
anger.
In the
I
male
really
psyche.
Do think that women just start sleeping with more men to cure it.
Just fuck these losers, man.
Yeah, totally. It's what I'm doing.
Does that make sense, like what I'm saying?
No, yeah, it does. Oh, okay, I'm just joking. Right, yeah. It's not what I'm doing. No, but it does make a ton of sense. Because I do think that there is... Well, men are lonelier now than ever.
Totally,
Because women are getting more education and more financial independence, and so they're not dating as many
100%. People. And you know what's interesting, too, is I've heard... I love Scott Galloway. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
I love him. And he said something which I found so true being like engaged is he's like, men get more out of marriage than women do, which like statistically they've interviewed like widows and widowers after, and men are miserable after. And I mean, just thinking about like what having a woman in my life has like brought into it, just in terms of like organizational skills, like I'm not even talking emotional stability, just like now I know where my socks are is so like.
And that being said, I'm still looking for love. Yeah, I do feel like in that way I might be more of a man because I never know where my socks are.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's my problem is I need a wife.
You
a
need
little a bit.
You just need another woman.
Woman, yeah.
Do you.
Which I guess exists.
Do you like. I don't know. This is probably a stupid question, but like, I feel like, I don't know, because every generation I feel like says dating is so hard now, but I do feel like now it's just exponentially harder because, I mean, like, obviously dating apps and stuff like that, but like, Anna, what's been your experience with dating in New York City?
What's been my experience dating in New York City? Well, I actually feel like people have a lot, I've been hearing a lot of dating app success stories.
Yeah, well, it's
like
yeah.
My brother's fiance, who's amazing, they met on Hinge.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Zoran. Met his wife, whose name I can't remember, on Hinge.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. My thing with the apps.
Yes.
I met my fiance in real life.
Which is really impressive and a sign of innate charm. And practice charm. Yeah.
And practice charm. No, I just like... obviously there are success stories and stuff, but like I think it just discourages people from like going out and like trying to meet new people and make
that's
like,
true
you know, because it's just like you get because my brother and I were having this conversation earlier this week. It's like there's so much cheap dopamine out there.
Yeah,
and not to say that it can't work because obviously it does. It's just like it's just so much harder now because it's like why would I go talk to this person at this bar if I can just like go on my phone and like meet
someone.
Also,
I think people are really afraid of being weird or being too much.
That is a big thing.
And I think that like that's one of the things that stand up has helped me with the most is just my level. The amount of humiliation I can tolerate is so freeing.
Were you, can you talk more about that? Because were you someone who was always afraid that you were too much?
Well, have you, you know, Carly Polestina, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, love Carly. Yeah. She's one of my best friends, but. Like a year ago, we were eating dinner and I said to her something like, well, you know, I'm really shy. And she started laughing for like 5 minutes. And she was like, there are few people who are shy. Like she was like, you're the least shy person I know, was basically what she said to me. She was like, what do you like? Your perception of self is so off from who you actually are if you think you're shy.
That's so interesting.
And then I started thinking about it and I had like a montage of me like walking into rooms, me like, hi. But I think because I used to be really shy.
Yeah.
As a kid. And like, I think up until 22, I was painfully shy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All throughout college, you were shy?
Throughout college. Well, I've always been really shy off stage, and then on stage I could put it on, but I was still pretty timid. But like until I reached my low point, I was very shy and very self-conscious all the time.
Sure.
So then after that, I think I just had a full personality switch, but it takes me, it's like I'm dysmorphic about my personality.
That's
where
so interesting.
In my head, I'm like, I'm really shy and I'm really quiet and I'm just like in a corner. And then it's just not what how I am at all. Like, yeah.
It's so reminiscent because I had Ari Findling on this podcast and he said to me, because we were talking about like everyone has their look like joke, right? I look like XYZ, and I told him mine, and it's about I don't do it anymore, but it was just how I like you know I'm Jewish or whatever, but like my last name's Penna and like nobody sees the Jewish side. And he goes, no, I see you as like possibly Hispanic. I was like, really?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, you're an olive skinned man. Like
you read as very Jewish.
Yeah. So he was just like very like, so, but I had that moment too where I was like, am I? But it's so interesting because like we change so much over
so
time.
So hard to see who we are.
Yeah.
It's like impossible.
Do you have anybody in your life that'll like Carly, I guess maybe is the answer to the question, but that you can like sort of reflect that back?
Like, well, I'd say I have a lot of really amazing friends who I am not going to list because that will get me in trouble because I will forget somebody because I was about to start being like this person that I instantly thought of whose feelings would get hurt. But so I have a lot of friends who are really good at keeping like track, like checking what I'm saying. But I'd say like the person, I was actually talking to one of my friends about this the other day of how I feel like we have people who are like markers of our life who we can kind of use as mirrors throughout. And like for me, that person's my older brother. Like,
oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. He's my best friend.
Really?
Yeah. And he more than anyone, and sometimes to a fault, will say, but in a sibling way, like exactly what he thinks.
Yeah.
And it's very like, and I can do that to him too, because there's so much trust already there.
That's so sweet. You guys were like always close growing up. Did you ever have like any tension or anything?
No, he really wanted a little sister.
I'm very
lucky.
I have that reaction just because like one is so, that's like so wholesome.
Yeah.
But what's so interesting is like that's the exact opposite reaction, like relationship I had with my siblings growing
really?
Up.
Really?
Yeah. And like what's funny now is like my younger brother and I are super close now.
Yeah.
So like before the pandemic we got super close, but before the pandemic, like, and I'm not proud of this, like I would see him in high school, I would completely ignore him. I would be like,
really?
I was so embarrassed of him.
Well, it's like a reflection of you.
Exactly. Well, that's what I said during
and
the pandemic.
And you can't control it.
Exactly. And I was like, because during the pandemic, we smoked a lot of weed together.
That's amazing.
And
that fixed
it. Well, it was, and some other things, which if you come see the solo show in the fall, you're going to find
gonna
out
I'm
going to
be
about.
There.
She is. I can't wait. Yeah. But basically, like, we had this event happen in our life, and it brought us closer together. I was sobbing to him.
Yeah.
I said it wasn't, I literally said to him, it was not about you. It was about, I was insecure with
myself.
And
that's so much of all of it.
Yes.
Is how you're insecure with yourself. But I think with my brother, he really, like, my personality is like his personality. Like, I just stole everything from him. Like, his AIM name was Pearl Clyde. And then my AIM name was Little Pearl Clyde.
That's like adorable.
Like, he always says I'm his Frankenstein monster.
Aww.
So I think like he, but like I don't. Yeah, he's great.
Is he a comedian as well?
No, he's like he's different from me in the sense that like he went to Harvard and is like,
oh wow,
very smart in that type of way.
I have a very smart older brother too.
Yeah, but we talk all the time. But he and I, like, I can judge moments of my life like through the conversations we've had at different times, and he's always been like able to see me more than I can see myself and see what I'm capable of more than I can.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's so, I mean, it's so important, like, because it takes so long, I feel like, to develop those relationships too. And it's like, I don't know, I'm gonna be 30 in February, and just like when I think about the relationships in my life, it's so hard to one, develop new relationships, like find these new friendships. And I have, like, to you know, some extent. But it's really that longevity, I think, that really, like you're saying, it's you get so much out of it. And that's so beautiful. You guys are so close.
Yeah.
Do you like having a smarter older brother? I don't mean smarter, but just I'm assuming.
No, I was thinking, like, I've had phases where I've been like, well, because I have really bad dyslexia.
Oh, I did not know that, but I will say it makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense, doesn't
I
it?
See
it?
Only because I see a lot of Instagram stories.
Yeah, well, it's very confusing because like I have a MFA in like fiction writing and read a ton, but I can't spell anything.
Oh, but you can still like read okay.
I'm a very fast reader.
Wow.
I can like fly through reading, whatever. Like it took time, but like I, and I'm a really great writer, but like I truly for the life of me cannot spell. And people will always slide up and correct my spelling. And it's like, it's not gonna, the amount of tutors I've had, if they couldn't.
Oh my God.
I went to a school for kids with disabilities for a little bit.
I didn't know that.
I did. I was the smartest one there, but. But I did. But yeah, I'm like, so I think with my older brother, that as a kid was very frustrating because it was like, why are you able to do everything?
Yes. I.
And what's wrong with me that I can't?
That
yeah.
makes sense. So it was yeah. the comparison in that way. Did you see, like, did you think about strengths that you had that maybe he didn't have and that made you feel
so
better?
So, like, my brother is a little short.
How tall is he?
He's, like, a perfect height, totally. But we don't need to get into numbers. But I just say, like, in the genetics, that definitely.
Which, by
the way, for a girl, doesn't matter. But I feel
height?
Like height.
I feel like. Some girls are tall, right?
I'm very tall.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
Okay.
Which is very tall for a girl.
But it doesn't bother you?
It does.
Not
well
that
no.
it should. I'm just...
No, but I'm saying, like, it's not... Like, I have inches that he could have easily taken.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I could be a little better at spelling. Like, if we were restructuring genes.
Talk about...
Which is a game we used to play.
Really?
Well, we'd do, like, how... Because I have a lot of things wrong with me. So we'd be like, how many inches would he take for my ailments?
So funny because like so many men would be like all of them I don't care just give me everything.
Well, like my peanut allergy, I think he'd take like 3 inches for a peanut allergy.
Really? I
yeah.
would take that for an inch if I'm being honest. Even
yeah
that,
exactly
I, like honestly
yeah.
that's not bad.
No, we once were spending the entire day like playing this game. I was probably like 12 and then at the end of the day my mom came to me and she was like, that game makes me really sad. Like, do you think your brother feels that bad about his height? I was like, that's your takeaway?
Oh, your mom seems so intuitive. That's like
so
intuitive.
Yeah. No, but I mean, we've talked about my dyslexia, my peanut allergy, like the a million other things. She's like, oh, his height. How will he be okay?
It's like such like a boy mom thing.
Totally.
Just like, oh, constantly.
Yeah.
It's so, because I think about that too. My older brother's taller too. I'm
oh
the
really?
Shortest one. My younger brother, I used to be the most attractive sibling. And I
awful.
Like,
fall from grace.
Fall from grace. My younger brother, good looking cat now.
Is he single?
He is single. He's single. He's a nurse.
Oh.
And ladies. Let me see if I can show you a picture of him. I don't really have too many good pictures of him, but I'll find it later.
But he's hotter than, you think he's hotter than you?
He is, and for a few reasons. So, like,
okay.
I used to work out a ton. I used to mm-hmm. be, like, very in, like, great shape. And I'm, like, starting to get back into it now.
Yeah.
But he got very skinny. My older brother used to be, like, very heavy.
Okay.
And so he, like, worked on himself, did whatever. He's not only, like, and not that the weight element is everything. But
no,
like,
speak
you
freely.
Know,
yeah.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you for giving me that permission.
You have everything you've said, you've been, like, and being tall is good for some and bad for others.
Can you tell I'm anxious?
Yeah.
So he lost a lot of weight and he grew his hair out.
Okay.
And he just came into himself as a young man. And he's more sure of himself
That's
than
amazing.
He was. And he's, you know, the word that triggers him is weird.
Like, oh, so he doesn't want to be weird.
Does not want to be weird because I think he was bullied for that a lot when he was
that's
growing
really
up.
That's really hard.
So I know. And it's, you know, and he's not like, he's not socially weird or anything.
We're all, like, the best people are weird.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he picked up a little bit of his social charm from me.
I'm sure.
But he, you know, it's contagious. But yeah, he's very, very handsome now. And to the
yeah.
point, you know, we were at my mom's 60th surprise birthday party. And all
congrats
the nurses were
mom.
Like, yep.
Or happy birthday is the correct way to say that.
Happy congrats.
I forgot that happy birthday was a concept. I'm like, congratulations to her on making it another year.
After a certain age, it is that.
Oh, she. But 60's not that age.
I know.
Oh, congrats to her on making it that far. Oh,
she listens, so yeah. Mom, I love you. Yep.
You're super she young. Yeah.
But, but we're at her 60th birthday party, and all of her nursing friends were like, oh, my God, your son. And I thought they were talking about me.
That's
and
brutal.
And they weren't.
How did you find out?
She told me after. Because we were all, it was like, it was the day after. And
so
she, it was like with Nick and me in the room. Yeah. And I was like, oh, me? And she goes, no, they were talking about him. And I was like, oh, my God.
How did he react to that?
He's in what a hot person should do, which is like it doesn't faze him, you know.
Which
he's
only
like
makes him hotter.
That's right. That's what happens. I know.
Yeah.
But he's
sorry. I probably shouldn't curse on this.
And he's very. I know. No, you can. It's fine.
Damn.
He's very sweet though, because he. I don't know if he'll be okay with me telling the story, but whatever. It'll be a test to see if he listens.
Ooh.
But he. I know.
Yeah.
He took an older lady out to like dinner,
okay.
And a very nice restaurant, did whatever, walked her home, that kind of thing.
Classy.
And yeah, it was like very nice, and I think there was an age gap that she told him, like, hey, I just don't think this will work out full term. And he was like really disappointed about it, but like just a very gentleman, did whatever.
Right.
He's like, he put a lot of thought into the restaurant, which I liked. He's like, I want it to be good, I want it to say, so it's good. He's gotta find a lady.
He's current, like this recently happened.
This happened, that date was like a few years ago. I think he doesn't talk to girls about
He sounds a little weird.
Trigger.
No. Yeah, I feel like a lot of men are actually into older women. I don't know if your mom will
Anna,
appreciate that.
If you knew me before Taylor.
I was going to you and your brother both like an older lady.
Oh, we do. I did. I've told you that story.
Yeah, because it's one of my favorite stories.
The story we're referencing. It's the eye doctor one or the boat cruise one?
I was talking about the eye doctor.
The eye doctor one's fun. Yeah, that was.
And the boat cruise.
I have a few.
You were slutty in an incredible way.
I was, and you know, I think about that a lot now.
Really?
Because it's
do you think
like
it allows you to commit more?
Yes.
That's
awesome.
I'm
so happy you said that, because I used to, and I'm not proud of this, I've cheated on partners too.
Really?
I feel very guilty about that too, but it was always, I will say, in my defense, it was always a symptom of, we always broke up
months
after.
Well, no, I mean, that's often it's a symptom of
It was never something where I was like hiding an affair or something like that, but it just, I've cheated on two partners, I think, and we broke up like a few months after.
Right.
But I'm so glad you said that, because what those things taught me was, one, to be aware of signs that when signs are going that way.
Right.
You know,
look
what I
around.
Mean? Yeah. Like look around. Like what's going on? What's the path I'm down that's going
right.
to lead
what,
me to
what
that?
Makes me do this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the anxiety and guilt I felt after, I think, is kind of essential now, because I think it's very easy for men in long-term relationships to get distracted.
Yeah.
So for me, I have that fear, because now that I'm with my person.
Right.
I don't think I could live with myself if I did that.
That's
if that
amazing.
Makes sense.
That's so
it's
beautiful.
Yeah. So it's, you know, but it's like one of those things. It's, I think what's hard for men, we're like talking about it, like I think it's very hard for men to have an outlet that teaches them that and how to deal with those feelings.
Right.
Because the outlets they have and what they go to are so like, you know, the aggressiveness of it, right? Obviously not to, you know, Joe Rogan is huge with men, you know, and things like that, but it's like, because they like it. He's aggressive. He's a hunter, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, and I have those feelings too as a man, but it's like, I think it's about learning how to like deal with those. And
I also don't think that like anger is, I think we've like villainized anger.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of like behavior comes from not allowing ourselves to feel anger. Instead we just act instead of sitting with the feeling, because like the feeling itself isn't bad. It's the actions.
Yes. You're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard to tolerate bad feelings.
100%. And I think like especially with like I think so many like father figures, like I know with my dad too, with like growing up watching him how he dealt with anger, like I still catch myself like doing that. You know what I mean? And it's like,
or it's not just anger, it's like sadness also, like
so many
we're feeling inadequate, and then it's like, okay, well, how do I make this feeling go away? I'll sleep with somebody random.
Exactly.
But then you just and it does for a minute, but then I'm sure you felt a ton of shame and horrible after.
Oh my God, so many
and
times
guilty. Yeah.
And we also have it like in our culture, I feel like, for men, where it's like your value, a lot of times, where a lot of men get their value from sleeping with women, from playing around, you know what I mean? And it's like, I did that for a while, and I felt horrible after, like, most, like, you know, it didn't fill me with anything.
And it's like, it's since we're not taught and we don't know how to just sit with the emotion, we have to act. But then eventually you realize, like, oh, it actually just makes me feel worse. But it takes a lot of choices.
Exactly. And that's like, you know, and not that it can't work with men, but like, I do think it's good. And I don't want to just hold men to it. I think it's healthy for like men and women to like explore that, like especially in their, you know, 20s and 30s and stuff like that. Like, you know, I think it's important to like, you know, hook up with people and like do, you know, explore, because you get to know yourself better that way, like you said.
Yeah.
And it's like, now that I've had those experiences, it's like, what, I don't have the urge to cheat on Taylor. Like, I love her so much.
Yeah.
But it's like, I know that, like, I know how that plays out in my head, if that makes
right.
sense. Where it's like, if I ever have that impulse or to do whatever, one, I don't want to hurt her in that way.
No, of course.
But
because we all have impulses.
Exactly.
And it's like, sometimes you have to see the result of the impulse.
Totally.
Depending
yes.
on the impulse to yes. know not to do it again.
And of course, it's not great that like I hurt people in that way, but you know, I hope that.
But we're also all growing.
Exactly.
And people.
Yeah. So it's that kind of thing. So I just, this was really to get that off my chest. So I'm happy. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, I was going to say, no, I feel like sorry, I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but like so many artists, I think, but also people just feel a lot of shame over like being a person, which means being fallible.
Yes.
So it's like,
oh my god,
yeah, you're allowed to do shitty things and not be a bad person.
Yeah,
because we all do.
Yeah. And that is so, oh god, because especially now where it's like, I don't know, we have this standard of like not being able to make mistakes, I think. And
yeah.
it's just, you know, yeah, because
the self-regulate, like the monetization is like really hard. To always be trying to be perfect all of the time eventually makes anyone snap.
And it's
and then we have
it's
exhausting, and you have no recourse of what you're supposed to do when you mess up because you feel so ashamed. Like, it doesn't actually help anyone.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Have you ever been cheated on or no?
I've never been cheated on, and I've never cheated. Not to dunk on you after saying
star.
All those nice things.
You're
but
like, I'm not a horrible person.
Because I'm not a really bad person. No, I've never done anything like that. I've always been, I've had people, I've always broken up with somebody before it got to that point.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to get into your low point?
Yeah, let's get, now that I've said point, let's get into my low point.
No, you had such a perfect transition earlier in this episode, and I like completely steamrolled it because I was like, no, we're not there. No, cause I was
no,
like,
I didn't even
this.
Try to transition it.
But you did it so perfectly, and we were having such a lovely chat, I like didn't want to interrupt it, and it was trying to be the perfect person.
See,
talking.
You're so hard on yourself.
I really am, and it's something like, we will get to the low point, but I do, because you're saying so many things that are just like popping up in my head.
Yeah.
I think one of the great things about having Taylor in my life too is I have this wonderful person who loves me, like despite the thing. She is a great reminder too. She will say like, you're being too hard on yourself as well. And it's like, that's what we talked about. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this reminds me of my answer to your earlier question about dating apps.
Yeah.
I was talking to two of my friends who are in like really long-term wonderful relationships, and I was asking them about like the start of their relationships. When they described the start of their relationships, they were like the messiest hookup situations that ended up with them being together. And it made me think, like, we have this expectation on dating right now where it's like, if you wanted to, he would, like, divine femininity, like, let him chase you, blah blah blah. And it's like, people are actually very messy and mess up.
100%. But we almost broke up, Taylor and I did.
Really?
Well, the first few months we almost broke up.
There you go. Everyone I know who's like happily in a long-term relationship had like something weird in the beginning.
Yeah.
But the rhetoric around dating right now is so sanitized because I think there's so many choices that it's like, well, if this person isn't showing up exactly how you want them to and being this like perfect person that you've imagined in your head, and if their dick doesn't work in any way, or like they can't like get you off a million, like it's like all of these expectations.
Yes.
But it's like, well, people are also just like human and flawed.
100%.
But then also you should have high expectations for the person you're with.
Yes,
and that's
but
the
also
balance.
100%. But like, and this is, I'm actually glad you said that in that way, because like the thing with dating apps is like, I think you're filtering out based on like the wrong characteristics,
say
right?
More.
Because they're all physical. And I think I've said this to you before. it's a running joke with Taylor that I have to stop saying this on the podcast, but she's not my traditional physical
type. Which
is
so funny because Taylor's like the most beautiful
and
person.
And she's so hot. Like
when
she's
you
so
first said that to me, I was picturing somebody totally different. And then I met Taylor and I was like, you mean this beautiful skinny girl?
Like, oh my God. Like she is so beautiful. Yeah. And it is also nice. The advantage to meeting someone in person is I did have that moment when I saw her where I was like, oh my God. And yeah. I think, you know, so it was like, you know, it's something I wouldn't have gotten on an app, but like, one of the things like I think about all the time, and Taylor has, in my defense, right? So I say that Taylor says if she saw me on a dating app, she would not have swiped right. So that's another thing people need to keep in mind.
Yeah.
My profile was ridiculous though. I had my Eagle Scout picture up there at one point. Like
that's
a,
iconic.
Like a dweeb.
Yeah.
I'll show you it after. It's like Please. A Halloween photo of me posing. But we basically, I was like, there were moments, right? And she would say that too, where it's like, we weren't sure if it was going to work. But the reason we kept pushing through and was like, let's see where this goes, is because I think we both realized the really important stuff was there. Mm. That she's had this incredible heart, that she is beautiful, that wow. And that's the, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying, but that she, you know, that we laughed all the time.
That's
and that
amazing.
We had such a great time. So it's just like, if we focused on, you know, the
did he book the perfect restaurant?
Well, that yeah, yeah. But that was like, that was all part of it, you know. I yeah. And I did play. This is why the dating games are like a little, like there's a purpose for like where they came from, because like the day after we met, she was like, why isn't he texting me? It was like the morning, whatever. Mm. But I did text her. I waited till the afternoon.
That's good. You didn't seem desperate.
I didn't want to seem desperate, because if I had, I think she would have whatever. And the big thing with her too is she, because I'm a slut, we didn't sleep together for our first few dates. Mm. Not that that's, again, I know stories.
But she didn't want to.
She didn't want to, right?
That's great. Yeah. Classy girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, and not to say, I know they're...
Matt!
I know. Well, I know couples
take
that...
Take a stance.
I'm spineless.
No, but I... No, again, like, I was talking to this girl, this friend of mine, and she was saying that, like, her partner and her started out just, like, hooking up casually
yeah.
for, like, a summer. They just would hook up casually, and then they ended up, now, like, they're engaged. And I'm like, you would just hook up casually? Like, that was it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, well, if you don't want to then you're not taking me seriously. So why would I ever? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the reason it worked in my case, because yeah. there are cases like that 100% it
yeah.
works. I think in my case, where I was in my life was, one, I did have this moment. And I remember sitting in my bedroom. Mm. This is super corny and cheesy, but I actually did a meditation to like manifest
love
and stuff
Wait,
like
that's
that.
Beautiful.
Well, yeah, but also like I hate the way people use the term manifest now, because I think there is something to manifesting something, but it has to change action. Mm. Like you need to set that in your mind so that your actions change.
It has to become part of your identity.
Exactly. Yeah. So I had done that and I was going out on more dates. I was taking risks at bars, like trying to talk to women and stuff like that. But I think where I was in my life in terms of like the sleeping together thing was, I think the reason it was important for me that she, you know, made me wait is like I had at that point, I think if we had slept together right away, I maybe wouldn't have considered it to have been a long term thing
right.
because of all the hooking up I was doing at the time. If
you would have devalued
sense.
It.
Yes, exactly.
Which I think is totally fair.
Yes. And obviously,
did you like hook up or did you just kiss on the street and nothing?
Well, it's a funny.
You also don't have to share.
No, it's okay. No, no.
Me taking notes. Was it a blowjob to completion?
Where exactly is the line here? Yeah. So we did first night. She wouldn't kiss me first night. I know. I didn't even get a smooch.
She was like, maybe next time.
Yeah, she was like, maybe next time.
That's really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, she left early.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good for her.
Oh God, she was. Yeah, she. It was so funny too, because she was like, by the end of the night, she's telling me she was obsessed with chickens and like whatever, and I was like, this girl's weird. So second date.
So it could be a good thing being weird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. I gotta tell Nick.
Nick, if you're listening.
So we actually lived one block away from each other in Hoboken, which is crazy. But so we went to this restaurant around the corner, had a lovely dinner, and then it's very funny because I thought a girl walked in and I thought it was her because I forgot what she. By the way, she's not big on social media. That was
okay.
another thing. Mm-hmm. So I didn't
and
have any.
And you met her in like a bar.
And I met her in a bar.
So it's dark.
So it was dark. Yeah, yeah. And then like, but we hung out for like the rest of the night or whatever. But this other girl with red hair walks in. And I was like, it like wasn't her. And I was like, all right. So we had dinner and drinks that night. She was like very rushed at the end of the night. So she like, she was like, I walked her home because
yeah.
literally right there. And she goes, I had such a great time. Okay, bye. And then she like came in. Like she was like. Like, she swooped in, like, before I could think. And she, like, she, you know, kissed me. And then she's like, okay, good night. And then she turned away and, like, went upstairs.
This is your second date or your first date?
This was the first date.
So you did kiss, but it was, like, a very quick kiss.
I'm sorry. Yes. We first date we kiss, not the night we met.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So we did that. And then
it wasn't, like, a passionate kiss.
Yes, it wasn't like a steamy.
It was just like I'm kissing you and then I'm leaving.
Yes, but it was like a
I'm thinking, that's amazing.
Perfect amount of steam for a 5 second kiss.
Right. So, because you knew that what could come in the future was
right.
promising.
Yes, exactly.
Incredible.
And, I didn't. It was funny. I didn't ask to come up because she left so fast.
Yeah, she didn't give you the time.
Yeah, she
was like, bye.
She's like, okay, bye, and then like we left. So we did that, and then second date, she picked. We went to the Frying Pan in New York mm-hmm. City, so that was a lot of fun. We walked around, went back to my apartment. And then the third date.
But you still hadn't had sex.
Still hadn't had sex.
Okay.
But, you know.
You did some.
Did some other stuff. Not what you're thinking, but some other stuff.
Yeah, you read to each other.
Yeah, we did. Three books.
Three, nice.
Long hang.
Really long books.
And then third date, I took her out for a picnic. So it was fun. Yeah.
And then did you have sex on the third date?
Third date we did. Because she goes, we're walking home. And we split a bottle of wine. And she goes, do you have condoms? And I was like, yeah, I got them. She's like, all right, let's go.
That's amazing.
So it was very fun.
My thing about the third date is sleeping with somebody on a third date feels, no offense to Taylor, very cliche.
I know, and we talk about it. We talk about it all the time.
Because I'm like, at that point,
it's boring.
Wait five.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
like,
because it's just so predictable.
Yes. Well, that was the thing. It was like very like.
And I hate to be predictable.
I know. Good thing with us was after that third date, we don't distinctly remember going on any other dates. We were just hanging out.
You were just like in love.
Yeah.
That's also what happens.
Yeah.
We just fall into each other sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, we weren't just in love because we had that fight like after.
Right, of course.
And
this is what gets erased.
Yeah.
What was the fight? I guess you don't have to get into it.
I'm trying to think of a way I can explain it without giving away too much info.
Basically, you just almost broke up and then you didn't.
Exactly.
Because you knew that,
I'll tell you off mic.
Yeah.
A little off mic mention.
But I do think that's the thing, is that most relationships aren't perfect from the very second they begin.
That's the thing. Yeah. And it's like, if you don't allow it for the reasons that we talked about before with dating culture, and it's like, you know, they have to be,
right,
to check every box. It's like, if you don't let it breathe, you're never going to see like what it can be.
Exactly.
So I love it so much. And speaking of breakups, Anna, we are going to get into your low point today.
My low point. Yes.
I always ask the guests to text it to me beforehand. And I can't lie to you. I laughed out loud.
Okay,
you sent
good.
Me mine. You texted me that your low point was you were kicked out of clown college.
Do you want to just read what I said?
Yes, can I? Oh, my God. Perfect.
After I sent it, I thought, I hope it didn't sound bitchy.
No, not at all. No,
okay,
I would never take it that way. Here we go. Okay, you said, I think maybe the time I got expelled from clown school, my boyfriend dumped me, and my grandpa died all in 1 week when I was 22. Question mark.
I was like, and then I think I said, I can think of others if you want.
That's what you said, and I low-key, because I always want the guests to be comfortable, I was like, you don't have to talk to it, but can we please talk about this one? So, I mean, let's just start with clown college, right? So you were, this was 22, this week happens. What is clown college? Can you talk to us like about
Well, what I'd say about low points is that I think like the actual low point takes like a bunch of decisions to get to.
Yes, agreed.
So like the low point was that week, but that week started, I'd say, maybe when I was like bored. Like
you've just been on a constant downhill.
Up until that point, I've just been slowly like leading. It was like maybe more of like a sphere. Like I just kept twisting and twisting and twisting until I got there. I was like, something needs to change. But so I think it was like a bunch of, you know, my childhood. That's the great thing about childhood, is that you can always blame anything on it. Sometimes, like, I'll get to the end of a thought spiral and I'll be like, what? And ultimately, that's because I was once a kid. It's like, so I'm forgiven. But yeah. Basically, so when I got to college, I'm trying to think how I can tell all this without getting in trouble. But whatever.
You only live once.
But so when I was in college, I became friends with this lovely group of girls, and if they ever want to be my friend again, I'm still here. But not really. No, I'm
desperate.
No, I do not want your affection.
She's
and
looking
I'm over
right into
it.
Camera.
If you invite me to your wedding next summer, I will come, but
only if I get a plus one.
Oh no, only if I'm invited. I will not crash it. Has the thought crossed my mind? Should I? No, I wouldn't. And by the way, congratulations. I've been wondering if I should write. So I became friends with these girls. They were, I had started college in a way where I felt like I really needed friends, and I didn't know how to get friends without just like performing as the most perfect person I possibly could.
Okay.
So,
and this is before Clown College. So you went to a school before Clown College?
Yeah. So I did go to a normal college.
A non-clown college.
Yeah. This is like we're going. This is the foreshadow.
Gotcha. Okay. So go ahead.
So basically, I was friends with all these girls. They were very like, cool. They were really cool. And I was like, I can totally be chill too, and like not care, you know. And then I thought that I was gonna, at the end of college, move and live with them.
Okay.
I had been dating somebody for a really long time in college, and then we broke up, like at the beginning of my senior year. And then I started dating somebody else, and he was French, and yeah.
I'm like,
don't need to say much more.
You're like, I peaked.
I peaked. No. But yeah, he was French. And basically at the end of college, my like six best friends for all of college, I thought we were all gonna move. We were all living together. I thought we were all gonna move to Chicago together.
Okay.
And then I overheard them talking about the lease they were signing in Chicago without me.
All five without you?
Well, one of them was still a junior. Okay. But the rest of them without me.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I was like, what is this lease situation? And then one of them said to me, I'm so sorry. I should have talked to you about this sooner. There's just something unplaceable about you. I can't stand being around anymore. Your face. Zoom it on your face. Yeah.
They said that to you?
Something unplaceable. And then I begged them to place it because I was like, well, I just need to know. If you tell me what it is, I can change it. What is the thing? I'll change whatever the thing is. Is it this thing? And she just was like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just unplaceable. I think what it was I had never really let myself pursue in college, like pursue art. Mm-hmm. And then when I started dating the French guy and I broke up with my boyfriend and like I was trying to like find myself whatever, and he was like, you love to write, you should be writing, and he was an artist, and I was like, oh, I should embrace this side of myself that I've never allowed myself to like fully embrace because it always whatever. And I think they really found comedy to be like cringe, and one of them had said to me, it's amazing that you do improv. She said, it's amazing that you're so okay with not being hot that you're willing to do improv, which kind of bars.
What?
So I think that was a lot. There was also this like,
this is good.
This big like, it was so cinematic. But there is this like really big like windstorm and like all these trees knocked down like all over campus. And I was like walking with one of them through the like the broken trees, and she was like, I just can't believe that like you don't care about the world so much that like you want to just like go pursue your silly little like comedy, like podcast comedy dreams, oh whatever, God. Like, and you don't care about like the state of the world, and you just like want to go like make art. It's like, what are you doing, smoking weed? Like,
yeah, like what?
Yeah, but no, actually, and here's what's rough, she's doing amazing work. Sometimes I check their LinkedIns and she is helping people, let me just say. She's actually her feet are on the floor. I don't know if that's an expression, but that is what she's doing. She actually, I think day to day, is making a bigger impact than me as I go to my open mics. But I do think that was probably like at the core unplaceable thing. Again, congratulations on the engagement. Basically, I'll get back to that. Anyway, so I find out about this lease, and then my boyfriend, the French guy, and I are talking. Obviously a bad time for me, and he tells me that he wants to move back to France mm-hmm. to attend this really prestigious clown school. Which I think was his way of being like, I want to break up with you.
Okay.
But at that point, it was my final hope. Like, everything else was crumbling. And I was like, that's crazy. I also have always really wanted to go to clown school. Which I think was like, I was like, it's not that easy to break up with me. Like, you're, if that's your dream, it's my dream too. I can have anyone's dream. Exactly. If your dream's to move to Chicago, that's my dream. If your dream's to go to clown school, that's my dream. I mean, I was just looking for a dream.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God. What if he was like, there's something unplaceable
well,
about
I would have killed myself. Like, I mean, ultimately, that is what kind of happened in, like, the, like, bigger picture foreshadow. But
So you went to clown school to follow this guy? Not
yeah, I did, like,
sound.
No. I did Legally Blonde, but, like, clown. Like, it was, like...
Legally brunette?
Yeah, legally brunette and, like, deeply unhinged. And I will say the only person who tried to stop me circling back was my older brother, was like, what?
Wow. Okay. So, and I'm curious, too, like, how did your family take that? Like,
my parents are, like, artists, and they were just
like... Oh, so
they
were like, you fucking go do it.
They were like, that's iconic.
They were like, we're coming with you.
Yeah. Like, my mom was like, I think got off on telling people her daughter was going to clown school. She was like, I love seeing the faces of the women at SoulCycle when I tell them. Like, it wasn't... But I remember my brother being like, what? Come again?
Oh.
But also, I was like, I want to do comedy. And none of these girls embraced that I want to do comedy. So going to clown school is actually me showing them. Because, you know, you convince yourself you're
yeah,
doing it for
course,
you. Because, like,
course.
As a 21st century woman, you can't say you're doing anything for a guy. So you're like, I'm doing this for me and my dreams, you know. So he also was from France and had an apartment in France that was like...
Okay, so you were going to live with him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I lived with this guy I'd been dating for 6 months in his apartment in France, and we attended clown school. And now, I don't know if you know that much about French clown school, but, like, the way that it works is that, like, you have a drum in your lap. Like, sorry, no, sorry. The way that it works is there's a clown master. He's this guy is the last, was at the time, the last living clown master.
The last one.
The last one, allegedly.
Okay. He's, like, the headmaster of the school?
The headmaster of, like, clowning.
Of clowning, wow.
But also of the school itself.
Okay, gotcha.
He's very renowned.
Okay.
He sits with a drum in his lap, and he makes you get on stage and do things. And if he doesn't like those things, he will hit the drum, insult you, and tell you to sit down. And it's, like, every day for, like, 8 hours. And the insults get so extreme. Like, I don't know if I can say them on this podcast. Wait. I'll say them, but you can maybe edit.
This is like, wait. So this is, like, class. So you show up to class.
Yeah,
like, and
you show up to class and they, like, make you get on stage and do something. And if, like, they don't like how you do, if they don't like how you lift your foot when you go to take a step on stage, they'll be like, it seems like you were raped as a child and never got over it. Like, it's just, like, the craziest shit possible.
Do you want me to edit that?
No. I mean, you can. Okay. It's up to you.
I. That is crazy.
That's like a quote from this guy. Like, just like crazy, like the most insane shit.
Yeah.
And it's just like 8 hours a day.
Oh my
of
God.
Just like. And the idea is that, like, you can be humiliated to a point where, like, your ego breaks and you're past the point of humiliation and you're completely free on stage.
Oh, my God.
But, like, everybody else was, like, a hardcore theater person. Like, even my boyfriend at the time was, like, a theater major, like, wanted to be a clown, was, like, his actual dream. And I was just there, like, I'm shy. Like,
oh, my God. So,
and I had to love it because at that point it was, like, no, I'm going for me.
Yeah.
Love it here. I love doing this, and this is my dream. And none of what is being said upsets me at all, because I also just was so dissociated that I was like, he can say whatever he wants to. I mean, he would, like, have people stand on stage, and he'd be like, you'd do something unfunny, and he'd be like, that was so bad. Does anyone here want to fuck him? And then no one would raise his hand, and he'd be like, see, nobody wants to fuck you. You're unfuckable. Like, just, like, the craziest shit.
Oh, my God. So now... And you went up at some point. Wait, can you
every so you're forced to go up,
right? What did he ask you to do? Do you remember anything? Or
yeah, it would be like it's also like all this stuff is so stupid. So it's like,
yeah,
you are an egg, and then, like, you'd be like an egg. You'd be like, I don't believe you are the egg, and it's like, I don't, because I'm like a girl and not an egg. But then it wouldn't just be like you don't seem like you're an egg. It would be like, you don't seem like you're an egg, so like you must have a boyfriend who wants to stab you to death at night. Like, it's like any sort of way, you know, if you're gay, it's all about you being gay. If you're from any background, like, you know, it's and the like idea is like the audience will say all this stuff to you, so you're like getting it said to you so you can be completely free.
Right.
I also think that like it's a level of cruelty that like we're trained to tolerate kind of with no purpose, maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then it's hard because I also did get like so much out. Yeah,
it seems like it's one of the like I do understand the purpose of like, especially you must find value in it now that you're on stage, right?
Unfortunately,
I
every
bet,
day.
Yeah. I bet. Because you might, yeah. So you're in France. You're going to this class every day.
Yeah,
just about. And like, what's the relationship like with this French guy?
Well, okay. I'm like, he probably won't be happy about me talking about this.
We don't have to if you don't.
No, we can talk about it. I might edit stuff out later.
No worries. Just
let
me know.
But I will answer honestly, and then if we go back.
Perfect.
Well, it was hard because I understand now with like time from his perspective, it must have been maddening to live with me because it would be like I would just get so humiliated and I'd be like, it's whatever. And he was actually like struggling with it. And I think that I had very much of a like, if this old clown guy wants to say this to me, why the fuck would I care? What does he know? And it's like, that's my defense mechanism. Because like, obviously I like wanted.
This is so funny because it's like his dream to go to like clown college and you are beating him at clown college.
Oh, I was better than him. I think that's like a big part of it. It's like.
You just had more talent.
And I don't like it. Yeah, maybe that's what it, just moxie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just. Okay.
And
so he's like
it
dealing
was
with that and then living
and
with
And also,
you.
I think it was. Because I think, like, we don't. Like, to the point you were saying, like, men don't really have an outlet besides their girlfriends a lot of the time to talk about their emotions. And so then if your girlfriend's just like, oh, you feel sad? I don't. It's maddening. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So totally responsible for that.
Love you, Tang.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, you feel sad.
Yeah.
That's like weird. Yeah. I'm a woman and I don't feel sad and we're the emotional ones. Weird. Maybe I'm more of the man. Like, it's not what you want.
So is he like slowly starting to like resent you at this point and like.
Yeah, and like so I did the ex drinking buddies podcast a while ago and my ex boyfriend listened and got really mad at me for that podcast.
Okay.
Sorry. That's not the right way to phrase it. The responsible way to phrase it would be, I really hurt his feelings in doing that podcast.
Because?
Because he felt like I made it seem like the reason we broke up was the rest of the story that I can tell when really he wanted to break up with me, according to him, because he wanted to sleep with other people.
But talk about cliche.
Yeah. But I do think it must be like, if you're a man and like every single day this guy's telling you that nobody will want to fuck you, you're ugly, you're weird, like you can't make anybody laugh, you'll never make your parents happy, you can't please anyone, like obviously your response is going to be like, I need validation elsewhere. And if you can't get that from your partner, you're going to want to fuck a ton of people.
Gotcha. So yeah. He just straight up told you that.
Well, no. So basically, we're going to clown school every day.
In little tiny cars?
Yeah, exactly. No. No, I wish. On the metro. Trimestro. I just said very metro. Anyway, we're on the metro. And, we also just, like, it was just we were, like, getting on each other all the time. Like, I like to tell a story with a lot of whimsy, and he'd be like, that didn't happen. Like, that kind of, like, it was just,
Oh, sure, yeah.
Things were fraying.
Yeah.
Then there was this weekend where he did tell me he was, like, wanting to sleep with other people, whatever. Then the next day, I'm debating how much of the story. I'll say for the, basically, the short version of this story is that some insult was said in class.
Okay.
I responded to the insult.
So it was an insult towards you from the clown master.
Well, I guess should I just tell the whole story and then I can edit it out later?
Yeah, I'm just going to open my notes just so I can keep track of what we want to edit out. So, okay. whenever you're ready. And you're okay with keeping the like the other insults in?
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Okay, cool. So this one is the only one that I'm like, maybe I'll be like, maybe shut it out. Basically, so I get to class. My boyfriend that I'm living with is like, I kind of want to fuck other people.
In class?
No, this is like Monday.
Oh, Monday.
Sunday,
oh,
he said that,
gotcha,
whatever.
Gotcha.
So I'm in a mood and I'm bloated also.
Which, by the way, if you're bloated, it makes everything it makes everything 10 times
no,
worse.
No, like, I've told this story before. People are like, why did you decide in that moment to make that choice? And I'm like, I think because I was bloated. Like, I think at the end of the day, I was bloated.
It really, ugh. But then
yeah.
When you unbloat, you feel great. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it does feel great. But it's sometimes it's like you don't even appreciate it, actually. It's like when you have the flu and you're like, as soon as I'm able to breathe through my nose, like, I'm going to be
yes.
a better person.
Oh, that's exactly, yes.
And then you breathe through your nose and you're like, back to your normal bad self. Like, it's,
100%.
Yeah.
Sorry to get you off track.
No, so, anyway, we're in class, and these two people are on stage, and the clown master is like, this scene is so bad. If it was 1930s Poland, which death camp would we send them to?
Oh.
And then he pointed to a German student, and he was like, you're German, which one?
Oh, God.
And the German student said, Dachau. Like, just like he had it ready.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's,
it was just
that's
like
one of the ones most people haven't heard of.
I know. He did niche death camp. He knew all. He was like, can't say Auschwitz. It's too on the nose. Like, that's the level of pressure you're under in clown school. It's like you have to be like, Trelunk, you know. You have to go.
You
got to
be ready with the pulse.
Yeah. You have to be like, Dachau. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he says Dachau. And I'm just, I text my, I have this running thing where I've been like texting my family like the top insults, whatever. So I send that insult. My family starts being like, you have to say something, blah, 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 blah. And I like, honestly, then it was like we were outside and I really wanted to say something to the German student. Basically along the lines of like, dude, you had that so fast. Like, that's a little strange.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend was like, you're not allowed. Like, it was like, you will get in so much trouble if you say something and it will ruin clown school for both of us. Then I was like, well, and isn't that the problem with the Holocaust? Do you know what I mean? Like, then I just went to like, and that's why we're all complacent, because you're so afraid of clown school that, like, you know, have you ever seen the SNL, like, girl you wish you never met at a party? It's
yes,
like,
oh,
that, like
that.
It just like fully.
Yeah.
And I also just was, I think, just so
yeah.
angry and like had reached yeah. just. Anyway, so we're standing by the train and I'm just like looking at the train tracks and I'm thinking of the trains going to like the death camp.
So dark.
And then he's like, and I do the, what I, so I'm like, okay, I'll try to like be chill about this. And I send a text. Cause I also think I just hate somebody telling me I'm not allowed to do something in that way.
Yeah.
Cause then I got very moralistic about it, which
sure.
is one of my bad habits.
Yeah.
But so I sent a text to in a group chat with, I'd say, every student in clown school. And I said, JSYK, because I was trying to be chill. Just so you know. And I sent, like, a photo of starving people in
from the Holocaust.
Yeah. In a death camp. And I was like, at the German student, like, just so you know, like, when you make fun of people dying in Dachau, like, this is what you're making fun of, and if that makes you uncomfortable, like, I'm pretty sure they were a little uncomfortable too.
chill girl.
Also, like, Treblanka would have been funnier and like more niche if we're going.
You did not say that, did you? Oh my God.
Just like the worst.
Anna.
My ex-boyfriend sees it and he's like, how could you do that? You're ruining clown school. Like, screaming at me that I
sure.
ruined clown school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, whatever. But so I guess on the original podcast, it said we broke up because I said something. And he was like, no, we didn't break up because you said something. We broke up because I wanted to sleep with other people. So... choose your
so
fighter. I don't know.
So you break up after that and you have to move home.
Well, no. So we break up.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still living in his apartment. Well, no. So the next day I go to clown school.
Yeah.
And the master clown's like, who wrote the evil letter to the German student? And I'm so confused because I'm like, who did? Like, I didn't even consider it like that.
Yeah, it didn't even click, yeah.
He starts talking about how I'm a fascist. I try to say I'm not a fascist. He pulls me on stage. He's like, if you want to talk, you have to talk from the stage. And he's like, I only want good people in this school, like people who are able to love everybody. You don't seem to love everybody. I was like, do you love everybody? Like, what? I honestly fugue state blackout, and I think I just said everything I hadn't said. And, like, that's the ironic, I don't even know if I wrote, that's the thing about it, is that, like, the point of clown school is to have this, like, to reach the point of humiliation where you're completely free. And ultimately, like, I did reach that point of humiliation where I was then completely free.
And you're just, like, you're just shouting.
Yeah, and I'm just like, and da-da-da, and da-da-da, and by the way, like.
And he, he likes, you stop, he just slowly claps.
Well, one of the girls from clown school I saw for coffee, like, a year ago, and she was like, low-key, I remember looking at him and being like, I think he was proud. That I was like, I'm leaving. And he was like, if you're leaving, never come back. And I remember the beginning, and I remember blacking out and then being like, don't worry, I won't. And like storming out.
Oh, nice. That's a good one to end on.
Yeah. So then I'm still in his apartment and I'm like, what do I do? And then I'm kind of just wandering around Paris. So it is very chic. Like,
love it.
And we're like, he's like going to clown school the next day. And I'm like, what has happened? I have no friends because all of my friends from college dumped me.
Yeah.
I'm in a foreign country. I've told everybody that, like, I was going to clown school and it was my dream. I've now been expelled from clown school. And I have no job. And I've been living with this random man. Like, it was just, like, I'd made so many choices. And then I was, like, probably should move home. I don't know. And then my grandpa died
The next day.
Like, that, you know, it's, like, that Friday he died.
And
so
you guys were close?
We were close. And yeah. He was dying for a long time. But when I told him I was thinking about going to clown school, he was, like, go and have the best time. Like, his last words to me were, have the best time. Yeah.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. But I knew that he was, I knew that he didn't
it
have
was
a lot of time.
Yeah, but still,
but yeah.
I think it's, it's to hear that on top of everything going on, the fact that you're still in this foreign country alone.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, just being in a foreign place like that, like, do you, and I know this isn't the point, but, like, do you have, like, negative associations, like, with Paris now? Like, just, like.
No, I'm kind of obsessed with it now. Well, we'll get back to that.
But yeah, I just, because I get very anxious when I travel, which is why, like, I bring it up. It's just like, I can't imagine having all this happen and then just not even having, like, a stable home base to go back to.
Well, just everything felt crazy. Yeah. And then he died and everyone kept saying he died surrounded by everyone he loved. And I was like, well, everyone minus one. Like, everyone could be like, but the most beautiful thing is he died surrounded. He did. He died surrounded by, like, my brother and my parents and all of my cousins. But, like, I just feel like there was a really important person that he was probably looking for.
I just love everyone minus one.
But, yeah. But he did. I loved my pop-up. Like, he was also dyslexic. And, like, I think he really believed in me. And so.
Yeah.
And I remember. In middle school, I was getting really badly bullied, and I would always talk to him about the cool kids.
Aww.
And then at my middle school graduation, he was like, what cool kids? These are all losers. Like, yeah. But so then my mom calls me, and she's like, he's dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I should, like, go back home for the funeral. So I packed up all my things. And then my ex-boyfriend and I had, like, one last night where we, like, pretended things were, like,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And then I came back to New York. And then I flew home.
Packed all your stuff?
Packed all my stuff, yeah. Which, like, wasn't that much because I was living with him.
Right.
Flew home into the Shiva, basically.
Mm-hmm.
No, into the funeral. And I had to give a eulogy because.
Wow.
All seven of his grandchildren gave eulogies. It was the longest fucking funeral. But it was
all
beautiful.
Seven?
All seven of us gave eulogies. And my cousin's wife.
Make one a duo.
Not
and
a lot.
Your
candy.
And your
so there was, I think,
wife.
And his, like, yeah. And my aunts gave eulogy. And my dad gave a eulogy. It was a very.
Oh, God. That's a lot. That's a long.
It was a lot. There were a lot of tributes to the man.
But people running the lights.
So my brother has been working on his eulogy the entire time my grandpa's dying. It's like my brother's coping mechanism is he's like, every day he's visiting my grandpa in the hospital, he's writing a few lines.
Sure.
And he's like, I'm going to have the best eulogy. He sets up the funeral so that I go. And then it's his, like, it's all seven cousins, basically. I'm six.
Okay.
And then my brother's seven.
Wow, he's headlining.
He's headlining.
Yeah.
But, so, like, the thing is that I get on stage to start my eulogy, and I say, earlier this week, when I was expelled from clown school, I thought that was going to be the biggest tragedy. But, sadly, I was really wrong. Brings the house down.
I bet.
The people are hysterically laughing. I, like, kind of do, like, an incredibly amazing eulogy. Like, it's, like, one of the best eulogies ever done, I think. Because I've just had all this training and performance. I'm, like, really, like...
I was going to say, you're, like, B and A.
Yeah, like, exactly. I'm, like, you are stage. Death. Like, I was just fully... I was locked in. I also was so free because it was just, like, everything was bad so I could say whatever. So I just, like... do this and I'm riffing basically, like I've written this in like an hour. I do this whole thing about my grandpa and like our relationship and like how I thought of him in the moment where I spoke back to the master class. Like all of this stuff that like wasn't like I just danced for the beautiful audience of my grandpa's funeral. And then my brother gave his speech and it's just like it is hard to bury somebody at the funeral, you know what I mean? Because it was just like all like people clapped after my speech.
Oh my God.
And then my brother had been like working like really really hard and like he gave a very touching speech, but it lacked the pizzazz that it lacked my natural charm, you know.
No laughs.
He tried. I think that it's just even worse. I killed. So it's hard because you don't want the opener to be like that much better than the headliner. And then it was just like, you know, the Shiva. And I was sitting next to my brother the entire Shiva. And people kept coming up to me and being like, hey, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but yours was my favorite. And I'd be like, ah.
And they would just be like, nice to see you to your
like,
brother.
Yeah. So sorry for your loss to my brother. And to me, they were like, just phenomenal work. And... so, like, a thing about me is that when I'm in a dark period, I get, like, hyper-productive.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Where I'm just, like, I'm not a, like, depressed lie in bed.
Oh, really? See, I am. That's, yeah.
I can't because I do, like, a shame spiral and then I, like...
Right. So, it's...
Okay. So, it's, like, I'll try to lie in bed, but then it's, like, actually, I need to change my entire being and I need to do it right now. So, that weekend, I applied to, like... 10 different MFA programs to like go to grad school, and I got a job working at a restaurant, and I decided that it was like December and I decided that I was gonna do stand up every single day for an entire year for my New Year's resolution.
Really?
I went to my first open mic like that week, and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna do stand up 365 times this year.
Did you do it?
And I did it.
Wow, Anna.
I know. And then, like, by the end of that year, my life was awesome. But, yeah. Like, that was the low point. But it was, like, doing all those things was, like, manic and very dark and sad. And I was just like, I have to do everything, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, by the spring, it was, like, I was, like, fully doing comedy. And I had gotten into the NYU MFA program. And I was working in this restaurant. Like, so I was able to, like, excavate for whatever. But it was, like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just taking it in.
And it was, I also just started going on dates with people and it would be like the worst, like, because they'd be like, so like, what were you doing before you were in New York? Or like, tell me about your last relationship. And I'd be like, and then I'd tell that whole story.
Yeah, that's.
And then I'd be like, anyway, they'd be like, oh, so nice to like putting their stuff in their bag. So nice to meet you.
Did you tell that on first dates?
A lot of first dates got that full story.
Oh,
and
no.
A lot of no second dates. Oh, a lot of no second dates.
That's one you got to be like, I'll tell you that another time.
I remember another Carly Polestina shout out. I had gone on like two dates with this guy I was really excited about. But he kept asking, like, I really want to hear about like your time in clown school, and I kept being like, I'll tell, like, it was like the equivalent of sex. Like, I was like, I'll tell you eventually.
Sure.
And I was like, every single first date I've gone on, I've told this story, and then there hasn't been a second date. And I was like, I need to figure out like a good way to tell this story. And I remember Carly and I spent like 2 hours at this Irving Farm coffee where she was like, let's think of all the angles that could be helpful in telling somebody this story. And she like, you know, because if you've met Carly, she's just the most incredible person. But she had all these like colored pens and she was like, let's write all the parts of the story that make you look good in green and all the parts of the story that make you look maybe red flagged in pink. And then we can try to balance it out.
Knowing Carly,
can see it, right?
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I have it somewhere. It's like this full sheet of paper of her being like, well, and if you skip that moment, or if we make a joke here, he might like
you're writing a set to tell the story. Oh my god.
Yeah. And then I just started doing stand-up all the time, and I kind of, in that moment, what happened was, is I basically realized, okay, like, all of these things I've been doing my entire life of, like, doing what I think people want of me, like, not actually allowing myself to feel anything, just pushing through and, like, kind of dissociating, really do not, like, I think that it's going to make it where, like, everyone's happy with me and loves me, and it does temporarily, but then it's really, it always burns. Like, it burned at the end of college because I'd, like, become friends with these girls under a pretense that was different from who I actually was, because I was just doing what they wanted.
Yeah.
And then, like, with my ex-boyfriend, I was just doing what he wanted, you know, and then it's like, eventually those things all snap, because we're humans and we snap. And so then I was like, oh, I actually have to, like, be doing my life entirely different than I've been doing it.
It makes me so happy to hear that, because I genuinely think, I think a lot of people go their whole lives and don't make that realization.
Yeah, and I think I'm very lucky that I had that realization at 22. Yeah.
We usually end on, what's the advice you would give to someone who's going through a similar situation? I feel like we kind of touched on it, which is, I think, like, what's great is, like, I love that you got, like, very productive after, even though it was kind of, like, coming from a dark place.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, for someone who... And maybe just from talking from myself, like, because I don't get that productive when I'm in that dark place or something like that. But you really kind of started this next part of your life from that.
100%. Well, I was raised, like, very much on Tony Robbins.
The advice is, check out Tony.
No, that's not what I'd say. What I was going to say is, like, my mom's gotten a lot of love, but... on this, so I'll say, my dad, when I was in middle school, I was really badly bullied, and every single weekend we'd get brunch, and then after brunch we'd go to the bookstore and he'd buy me a different self-help book because he thought that would help my popularity, which it did not. If you want your middle schooler to be popular, like, give them weed. Like, don't give them Seven Habits of a Highly Effective Teen. I was so high strung and a dork, like, it was just not the vibe.
Do you do that on stage?
No, I've tried, but I should
really
try again.
I love that. That's really funny.
But so I just would read all these self-help books, and then I'd go into school and I'd be like, "And how are you? And how and Matt, hello, Matt." Like, because, you know, how to win friends and influence people, how to win friends and influence people for teen girls, like, all of them.
And you're like, 7 seconds of straight eye contact.
Exactly. Which is probably why I'm like, I can get everybody to like me if I try super hard. But at the same time, I do think that, like, the overarching lesson is, like, you're never really situations can have us stuck, obviously. Also, I have, like, immense privilege in all these ways. But a lot of the time, we aren't as stuck as we feel. And there's always at least, like, one micro change you can make.
I love that.
To make your life better. I mean, I think that's why people, like, cut their hair after a breakup, like, subconsciously. It's like,
yeah.
And that's not going to actually make things better, but it's, like, reminding yourself that you have a choice.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of the time when hard things happen, we, like, our natural instinct is to be, like, reclusive and hide. But it is just like, well, if you're... I also had a bit of a low point a few months ago, basically, just to skip forward, then it's going to circle back to my advice. Well, so then by the fall, I had been doing a lot of stand-up. I had gotten into this program, and I started... it's like a fiction writing program. And I wrote a short story about clown school. Now I'm writing a novel about a girl who goes to clown school.
I love.
Yeah. And at, like, the... end of this year, like, a bunch of, like, shitty things happened all at once while I was trying to finish my thesis. And I was talking to my professor about it, my thesis advisor, and he was like, well, you can either think of it as you have nothing or you have nothing to lose. And I think that's like the greatest advice I've ever been given.
Yeah,
because it is like, and I think that's how I've lived a lot of my life, where it's like, well, if I've lost all my friends and my boyfriend and I don't have a job and I just got expelled from clown school and I'm living back at my parents' place, I guess like it can, any move I make's only going to get better.
Yeah, that's that's really,
I don't know if that's helpful for anyone, because I think it's a very selective, like I don't know if there's like a lot of people who just got expelled from clown school, but apply it to what you will. It's just that like I think a lot of the time we don't act because we're afraid, but that like action most of the time is better than inaction.
You're so right. And we like talk about these micro changes, like it's gonna sound so silly, but like basically what had happened recently, like I went to the doctor, my cholesterol is like through the roof,
the worst,
and it's like,
yeah,
it's so like I'm it's bad, like really really bad. So I was like, okay, let me just, like you said, I'm looking for small changes, Anna, just by making myself like a healthy shake just to start my morning,
it changes the entire
changes
day,
changes everything, because now I'm like, yeah, I had my shake, okay,
it
maybe
primes
now
your brain.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, I really love that micro changes is so,
and also micro changes in the beginning are really scary.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
then if you force yourself to do them for a period of time each like the hardest anything is at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that, because by the time you're an adult, every skill you have is one that you've had for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So like your first open mic is the worst open mic you're gonna go to, like, you know, that first month is horrible, but if you can make it through that first month, you can probably make, you know, like that. I got distracted because I was thinking Dan Janine, who introduced us, is one of my older brother's best friends. And he really encouraged me to start going to open mics. And he was like,
oh,
you just
that.
Have to keep going. You just have to keep going.
We could do like another hour on how
I
amazing
know.
Dan is.
We really could, and he would hate it.
I know.
It would be torture for him. Anyway, but I do think like if you just force it, because he was like, you're not going to be good for a really long time. So you just have to be okay with being really bad.
Yeah.
And so like, you just have to be bad at the thing and be okay being bad at the thing. And I think if you remember that, like, it's everybody who starts anything is really bad, and that
yeah.
everything you're good at, you were once really bad at,
mm-hmm.
then eventually it stops being bad.
Oh, I love that so much. And
yeah.
the last thing I'll just say on that is, like, the force of, like, inertia is, like, it's
totally.
A real thing. It's a real
yeah.
thing. So, like, you know, with those micro changes, whether it's going to mics or doing whatever, to get going is the hardest part, but once you're moving, it,
yeah.
it gets easier and easier every time.
And also, like, we're so wired to be antisocial,
mm-hmm.
and it makes everything worse. But,
yeah.
like, seeing people makes you feel better, even if you're introverted. Like, I need alone time, but, like, oh, that's the other thing. Everyone laughs when I say I'm an introvert.
But, like, it's how you recharge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm someone, like, I would consider myself an introvert, but, like, I don't think you would, or the outside
No,
eye.
I probably wouldn't.
No,
no
but it's,
but
like, yeah.
So it's really easy for me to be, like, I don't want to be around anybody. But it's, like, no, actually, like, what makes you feel better most
yes,
of the time is seeing that there's other
yeah.
people that exist and that you're not that special.
Yes.
like, I think it's really important to, like, go on a walk and be, like, oh, like, there are people sitting at this cafe talking to each other, and,
yeah.
like, they're probably also upset about X thing. Like, I'm not the only person alive who's felt pain.
Do you know, like, one thing I love thinking is, like, going for these walks, and I'm like, wow, all of these people don't do comedy. I'm like, what do they do? I'm like, what is...
I don't even think that. I just think, like, mine, which is way sadder, it's like, all of these people also have crushes, and all of these people... Everyone on the street is waiting for a text back. Like, that's my view of things.
I love it so much. Anna, tell the people where they can find you.
Well, if you're interested in the clown school story, I am writing a book about a girl who goes to clown school. And it's fiction. But you can...
You're like, it's not a French guy. It's like, he was from Spain.
No, the point of the book's French. But it is fiction. Anyway, that will come out eventually. But you can follow me at Anna Rose Koppelman on Instagram and TikTok. I think it's just Anna Koppelman. It might be Anna Rose Koppelman. I should know that. But yeah. And then also shows you can see from there.
When you publish the book, we should do a reading here. That'd be so
oh
fun.
Oh, my God. I would love
would
that.
Would you love
yeah.
to? I'll mention it to Carmen. She would love to.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to probably be...
Whatever.
But when it happens, come
yeah.
to the reading when it happens
yeah.
here.
Yeah, oh my God,
yeah.
We'll repost this episode. It'll be amazing.
That'd be amazing.
Anna,
you're the
you
best. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. And here's to hoping we left you a little higher.
Oh, I love that.
It's cheesy, but
no, it's so good.
We did it.